everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now, where we talk about real estate matters that matter to you. My name is Jay Izzo, and we are live here from LendingCraft Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Greater Research Triangle Park. Well, today's show, if you're wondering, is what's going on? You know, the real estate market is fluid, to say the least. Things are always changing. We've talked a lot about a lot of different things, but then, you know, we had a rate hike here recently. What's going on there? And what about the economy? How does that affect real estate? Should I buy? Should I sell? What are some of the answers? What's the future hold? Well, today, a guest that returns with us, Michael Martin. He is a branch manager of Fairway Mortgage and has his own little portion of the company. He's called the Martin Mortgage Group. And he joins us today, and we're going to get into what I want to call the mind of Michael Martin, is what I want to do. So Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Jay. It's always a pleasure
and an honor. Yeah. And you know, when we talked about this, you had a lot of things on your mind about what's going on in the real estate market. So let's just start with where are we at right now? What are some of the things that you're seeing from a mortgage lending standpoint and where we're going from there?
Yeah, so a couple things I think I just would say right off the bat is I think a lot of people expected interest rates to be lower than they are right now, by now. And frankly, a lot of us in the mortgage business and real estate world, I think we're hoping that that would be happening because it'd make our jobs a little bit easier and getting these buyers off the fence, right?
Right, sure.
And so there's some gurus out there that kind of talk about this. And May was a big, we expected in May that we'd see these inflation numbers coming down enough to where it caused interest rates to come down. And there's a lot of people really confused right now because, right, let's just go back to some of this new data. Inflation report came out last week, the PCE. Personal consumption expenditures, which is the Fed's favorite measure of inflation. And it's on track for 3% inflation for the year, which is only 1% away from target, right?
Okay.
The Fed also came out last week and said, I thought pretty interestingly, the last few meetings in their comments, Jerome Powell has said that they were going to, in the future, they'd be raising a certain amount of times. They just raised a quarter point. And they said, we're going to see, we're going to wait and see instead of proclaiming future hikes. Right. So I think that's certainly positive that they're going to at least pay more attention to how this data is going to be impacted over the next month or two, instead of just already saying that they're going to continue to put the gas on raising interest rates. You know, I always like to remind people when the Fed increases their Fed funds rate, it is not mortgage rates. Mortgage rates can and will be impacted by that, but not directly. It's an indirect correlation. Mortgage rates are affected by mortgage-backed securities, which are traded on Wall Street every single day, just like stocks. And people will buy and sell those investments based on typically inflation is the number one piece there, right? So if we're going to have higher inflation, then those are going to struggle. And so looking at, you know, where are we now and where do we think we're going to be? The answer is, you know, anybody's got as good a guess as me or anyone else. I think there's so many undetermined factors out there. We certainly do. I mean, I'm telling my clients, we think rates will be lower in, you know, 9 months to a year to 2 years. I got in the business in 2002 when I was in the business, rates are about where they are right now, actually maybe a tiny bit lower. But roughly in the low sevens, we've actually kind of now gotten to the mid to maybe even upper sevens, depending on your credit score. So this week has just been a pretty brutal week. And so rates were about the same 21 years ago as they are today, but they had come from 8% the year before and 9% the year before that. So seven sounds really good when you came from eight and nine.
Right.
Seven sounds really, really bad when you're coming from three and a half.
Right.
And so, you know, I think a lot of, like, one of the biggest questions I think a lot of people are wondering is, should I buy now? Should I wait? I mean, at the end of the day, if you're happy where you are and you got a 3% interest rate, you probably ought to just stick where you're at. I mean, why do you need to move if you don't need to, right? If you're renting, though, I think that's a different situation because rent continues to go up.
Yeah.
And so you're continuing to throw good money after bad just to have a place to live where you could potentially find a place to live. And build some home ownership and equity. The reality is home ownership in the United States is one of the key drivers of wealth for people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the other thing. I mean, with rents going up, increasing, and matter of fact, all over, mm-hmm. it's not just here in our area, yep. but we're talking all over the United States. We've seen rents increase, residential rents. The truth is that when you're renting, you're paying off somebody else's mortgage.
Yep.
Right.
That's exactly. You pay your mortgage or theirs.
Yeah. So you have a choice here, right? Whose mortgage you want to pay for when you're renting. The other thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems that because the equity that we're able to build in homes is kind of outpacing the interest rate.
Yeah. So you have to look at it in individual cases or, you know, case by case. But there's a couple things to think about. So first is your interest rate that you get when you buy a house right now is your interest rate right now.
Right.
It's generally not going to be interest rate you have for life.
Right.
You know, I look back and, you know, got in the mortgage business, like I said, 20 some years ago. And sometimes I look at my insurance buddies and go, man, I should have gotten the insurance business. They got to pay renewals every single year. Right. We have to really earn our clients' right. business for right. them to come back to us, right. whether it's a refinance or purchasing another home, or hopefully they'll send us their friends or family or coworkers. But, the reality is that, you know, there's so many clients we've worked with over the years that do come back. People just don't keep mortgages for very long. Right. And they're usually for circumstances that they haven't considered, right? When somebody buys a house, they're envisioning themselves for the most part in this house for quite a period of time.
Right.
Nobody says in 3 years, I'm going to get divorced and move out of this house.
Right.
But unfortunately we're at a 50%+ divorce rate. So that's going to happen more often than you would think.
Right.
Secondly, people don't realize that they're going to outgrow a home faster than they think, whether it's right. a growing family or just their needs change.
Right.
And so they'll be attached to a house. I mean, there's going to be people sticking to their homes longer than they have in the past just because they got a 2.5%, 3.5% interest rate.
Sure.
No doubt about it. And that's one of our biggest challenges that we have with inventory, right? Because there are people that would like to move. I mean, think of how many people had to rush to move in 2020, 2021, and 22 that were making crazy bids on properties.
Yeah.
And they got in that house and now they kind of feel stuck because maybe they didn't love that house, but it fit their need at the time.
Right.
But now they're like, man, but I got this 2.5%, 3% interest rate. Right. I can't deal with a 7.5%,
right?
So we have to figure out whether their need overcomes that cost.
Right.
And they'll be bringing hopefully a lot of equity with them.
Right. Well, we've seen good equity here in our area, or great equity, I should say. We've seen
appreciation.
Good, yep. You know, great appreciation in our homes. And then the other things that you and I kind of discussed here is we have some, the issue of inflation is affects us all in a unique way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there is the type of inflation that we see, like going to the groceries, buying gas. There's personal, right? And then mm-hmm. there's the bigger inflation picture.
Yeah.
How does that affect our mortgage and our lending and purchasing?
I think what you're kind of leaning into is really home affordability, right? Mm. So in the higher interest rates are really affecting because you already have higher prices and you have higher mortgage rates. Mm-hmm. In different periods of time, you might have prices that were higher but lower interest rates, like that was most recently.
Right.
Before that, we've had times where interest rates were a little bit higher but prices were significantly lower. Mm. And so those things really, you know, come into play. But when you throw in higher prices in your home and higher interest rates and inflation with the goods that you're buying every day,
right.
your dollar just doesn't buy very much anymore.
Right.
And so how does that affect people? I mean, literally it affects them when they're looking at their, most people don't do a budget, by the way, right? So
most people
do not do an actual budget. And I can tell you, I probably wouldn't do one if I didn't have to for the homework that I have for the core. I just probably wouldn't, right? I was talking to somebody the other day and they had a checkbook out and we're like, when's the last time you balanced a checkbook, right?
Right.
This is something that millennials and maybe even some later Gen X's never have done.
Right.
With the online banking, right?
Right.
Where every single person used to balance a checkbook every time you wrote a check.
Right. I remember back in the day, right? You'd write a check and you'd flip to the back of the book, right? And then you would say, this is how much I got in the account. I'd minus this out. So you were always on top of it.
Exactly.
Right. You didn't even wait till you got home. Matter of fact, you would delay the grocery line.
That's exactly right.
This is what happened. It's really true.
This is the exact conversation we were just having yesterday. It's so funny to think about how some times have changed. And so, like, you couldn't begin to balance checkbook today unless you started over the new account, right?
Right, it would just be
impossible.
Right.
But people generally don't do a budget. And so how do they know what they can afford? And so we talk about this in our consultations, like, you know, have you looked at a budget? And I know the answer is no, but they'll say, sometimes they'll say, yeah. I'm like, well, do you have a copy of it? And they're like, well, it's kind of on the back of a napkin kind of thing. And so I'm like, listen, I'm not here to be, you know, to be your dad, right? But I do want you to help realize what you're getting into.
Right.
Because, you know, frankly, a lot of real estate agents, probably a lot of lenders too, would say now is the best time to buy and the best time to sell. And it's just not necessarily true,
mm-hmm.
right? At the end of the day, you got to find out what everybody's unique situation is.
Right.
In some cases, it's a fantastic time to buy.
Right.
If you're a cash investor right now and you can come in and buy, like we lost a deal. It tells you how hot the market still is, even though there's not nearly as many transactions happening. 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had a client who made an offer on an $800,000 home, went in at 860 with, I want to say, 50K DD, due diligence. And we lost the offer. We did not get it. $60,000 over, almost 10%, right? Over the list price. And a cash buyer swooped it up. I think it closes today or tomorrow from this thing a couple weeks ago that we lost. And like, that's an aggressive offer.
Right, right.
And we didn't get it, right? And so the buyer obviously was pretty, they went pretty aggressive and they thought for sure, I thought for sure we'd get this thing. Now, a year and a half ago, I'd been like, I don't know, 60 grand's enough.
Right.
Now I would think it is, but it's in a very desirable neighborhood and a very desirable property, and those things will still get eaten up very quickly. So going back to the budget piece, it's so important, I think, for people to really truly understand, you know, how this monthly payment's going to look like. Now, I tell folks, you're probably not going to keep this mortgage very long. We think maybe a year to 2 years. But you need to be prepared to make this mortgage payment for as long as the foreseeable future.
Right?
Do you expect your income to be going up to be able to help manage this? Do you expect it to come down? Are you looking to make some changes in your life? Is one person going to retire? All these things you have to come into play, because you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you can't manage that debt and we get into back into 2008, 9, 10, 11.
Right. And are the percentages pretty much the same, like to qualify for mortgages? Have those remained pretty stable?
Yeah. So different programs have different qualifications. Like Jumbo will have a hard, depending on certain investors, they'll have certain hard conventional. You know, conventional, we can, in many cases, if you got good credit and decent down payment, so even like 10% or more, and you've got a decent amount of reserves, a lot of times we can go up to a 49.9% debt ratio. Now, I don't advise someone to do that. I've got one right now that's got a very similar situation, but we're not counting the husband's income. So when you throw in his income, their debt ratios are really quite a bit lower than that. So there's a reason why you might want to go there.
Right.
His credit score wasn't as high, so it just didn't make sense to have him on there.
Right.
But we can generally approve up to almost 50% debt ratio on a conventional loan with really good credit. Now, FHA, somewhere in the mid-50s. Again, there's just got to be a reason to do that. I wouldn't encourage just somebody doing that on a just by themselves, because it's going to end up in a disaster situation.
Right. It's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
The other thing that you kind of brought up was also the job market now. So what are you seeing, and how's that affecting real estate right now?
You know, I think the job market is the biggest challenge and issue with why rates aren't lower right now, because inflation's coming down. Rates will follow inflation. They will. It always happens. You can go back to the history of inflation and mortgage rates. They've always followed. And so inflation's headed down, but rates are right now headed up. And why is that? Well, the biggest reason, I think, is because I'm kind of baffled by this stuff, but is that the markets, so investors buying bonds and stocks, and they're looking at all this and going, wait a minute. So the Fed says they're not going to raise, said they're not necessarily saying they're going to raise it, but they're looking at all the data that's coming in. Well, jobs numbers came in. So the ADP report came in yesterday, and that was stronger than expected. A month ago, the ADP report, so there's two reports that come out. The ADP is the payroll company, right? They're one of the largest payroll companies, mm-hmm. if not the largest out there. So they have data that they have their hands on because of the people that they have as clients. And so they make projections based on that. The government is the BLS report. So that particular report comes out usually the first Friday of the month. So it'll be coming out tomorrow. And that's the most important one. The ADP is like a snapshot. Usually they kind of follow in line. Last month, though, the ADP report was really strong. And then the normal jobs report, the government jobs report was actually not so. It was still strong. It's still positive, but it was way different. I think there was maybe 300,000 jobs different.
Oh, wow.
And so it'll be interesting to see. So the one yesterday came in pretty strong, much higher than expected. They're all thinking somewhere, I think it was 190 was the 190,000 new jobs. And it ended up being, I don't remember the exact number, 400 and some thousand. They revised the previous month downward. And so the new report tomorrow is going to, you know, we'll see how that comes out. If it comes out stronger than expected, I think we're going to continue to see interest rates go up for the short term. If it comes out somewhere around that 200 grand, because unemployment is 3.6%, and jobs numbers are still fairly strong. There's more jobs being created, right? Mm-hmm. And we've got not a lot of people looking for jobs because most people are employed. So that's what's causing a concern. There's all, by the way, all this new news that's coming out yesterday and the day before and today is saying that now we don't think that we're going to head to a recession, right?
It's been, right. Yeah, I read that too.
We've been saying, well, we as the stuff we've been reading has been saying that we're going to be in a recession for the last year and a half. And this recession has not come.
Right.
And it does, now they're saying it doesn't look like it's going to come. Even Jamie Dimon, you know, is saying that it's probably unlikely now. When I think the Bloomberg report, don't hold me to that, but I think it was the Bloomberg report last year that said we are 100% certainty that we would have a recession.
Yeah, I think it was Bloomberg.
Year.
Yeah, it was Bloomberg. Yeah.
And now, of course, we're not in a recession, and right. So 100% didn't turn into. That's like the weatherman's forecast.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's 100% chance of rain.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. It's interesting though because we don't think about the job market affecting real estate sales, but it certainly does, right?
If you don't have a job, you can't make a mortgage payment.
Right. But I mean, the other part of it is though, if the job market's strong, right, and you don't have inventory, then that, and you want to buy a house, it becomes more problematic.
Sure.
In that sense.
Yeah. And so it becomes an issue, I guess, because right, with lack of inventory and higher interest rates, even if you do have a job, interesting, one of the questions it's important for, I think, a real estate agent to ask as well as a lender. And by the way, I think real estate agents cannot be afraid to ask deep questions. You can't,
right.
You don't need to do the lender's job necessarily by taking a loan app, right?
Right.
You got to ask important questions. I heard somebody yesterday talking about this and I thought it was really, really brilliant. You know, tell me why you're looking to move, right? As a real estate agent asking a client, what do you look at? And there's a reason always. And so, you know, how are you moving for a job? Okay, great. You feel like your job's going to be pretty stable when you get here, right? Everything's strong. Or maybe I just took a job 6 months ago and we're not sure about this economy and what's going on. Well, maybe you should sit tight and make sure, because you don't want to buy this house and then lose your job and then not be able to make your mortgage payment, right? And so asking those questions and understanding where a buyer is in their own security of all these things, you know, it's not that we want to encourage them not to buy a house.
Right.
We just need to ask good questions so that we're not giving them advice just to make a sale.
Right.
They can feel it 100%, right? If you're trying to make a sale, again, I heard somebody say this yesterday, Lee Brown, I don't know if you know her. She's a speaker.
Oh, yeah. No, Lee's a personal friend.
Yeah. And so she was saying, you know, so many real estate agents say it's the best time to buy a house or best time to sell a house. But the answer really is it depends.
Right.
It depends on your situation and your needs.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a lot of equity in your house right now, probably not the best time to sell if you need to buy another home and you need something. If you do have a lot of equity, but you're tied to a great mortgage and you don't have that desire of a need to move, then probably want to sit tight and wait a little bit.
Right.
But you have to ask deeper and deeper questions so you can really give them the best advice versus sounding like you're trying to make a sale.
I know that you're not do lending in the commercial space. I know that you don't really do that. But, you know, commercial properties have been a struggle too because there's a lot more vacancies. Mm-hmm. Does that have effect? Do you see that as having effect on the residential real estate market?
You know, they're probably indirectly tied together. I think I was literally, before I walked in here, I was on the phone with a commercial real estate agent having a conversation, and we were talking about, so there's this tsunami, is this there's articles about it, right? Tsunami of inventory that's expected to come on the market because so many people have gotten used to working from home. They don't want to go back to work, all those things. And I was trying to wonder why it's happened, and I haven't confirmed this. I need to ask somebody else who knows way more than me, but why is it happening now versus a year ago or year before that?
Right.
And I'm guessing, as I'm dealing with renegotiating my lease right now, I'm guessing it's because leases are just now coming up from some of these things. And then there people are like, wait a minute, I don't know if I need this much space. And so that's just shrinking everything.
Got it.
You know, or making so much more available. Cause maybe I do want to keep an office, but I don't need 5,000 square feet. I could use 2,500 square feet.
Right.
Or, you know, you've got that giant, building, the Citrix building was built for them.
Right.
I think it's over 100,000 square feet, if I'm not mistaken. And it's empty.
Yep.
Right.
Completely.
And they keep building tall buildings downtown.
Yeah, I know. Right. I mean, as you kind of look at it, you're kind of going, okay, hold on here. That's got to have an effect also on our real estate, residential real estate
market. So, right. I think it's got to have an effect. If I'm trying to put those two together, if people still have jobs and there's low unemployment, then they still need a house. Right. But maybe they need a home office. Right. So maybe they got it. Maybe their needs for their home become a little bit different.
Right.
Based on the fact that they don't have an office to go to on a regular
basis.
I don't know that it changes directly, because if they don't have jobs, that's a different point. But if they do, then they're still going to need a home.
Right.
I talked to a guy this morning who is moving here, going to work for a tech company. He's a very young person getting ready to buy his first house, has a family. And he has a very good income for his new job. And he's super excited. They're coming to look this weekend to purchase a home. In fact, actually this guy's working with Tony. So, you know, we're going through all these things. They're very excited to buy this home, but he feels very certain, you know, about his ability to be here, stay here, and not have to worry about his job. Right. And so, again, I don't know how that necessarily ties into commercial space. I guess he does. I know he's going to have an office, but I know he'll also have the ability to work from home.
Right.
And so that, again, that part changes a little bit, because you're going to want to have a home office as well as a place to go.
Right. All right. So we got just a couple minutes left here. And we said the future. I mean, nobody's going to hold you to this. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to go out there and say 100% of anything.
Because I can guarantee a couple things.
Okay. Well, tell us a couple things about the future.
Yeah, for sure. Rates are either going to go up, or they're going to go down, or they're going to stay the same. But really, they won't stay the same. So I can for sure tell you that. When clients ask me all the time, what do you think is going to happen? I've got a conversation at 5:00 with another client because they're ready to make an offer on a new construction home. And the new construction home is not going to be ready until next spring. And they're like, what's going to be the rates of them? Like, I have no idea, right? There's nobody that knows this. And so you've got to be prepared, either one, to do an extended lock so that you can make sure you cap out what your worst rate case scenario would be. Those have a float down option, so you can always float down later. Of course, you can always refinance too. Otherwise, you're going to have to take some risk, right? If you don't want to do that now, then you're going to have to, what if rates go up a point? Like, what if they go up to 12%? I don't think that's going to happen. But what if they do? Are you prepared to walk away from the deposit you've got given or not?
Right.
So, couple things that are important, I think, when you look at what's going to happen with interest rates specifically and or the housing market. Interest rates, we do think they're going to come down. Obviously, they're still going in the wrong direction right now.
Right.
Inflation has always been the key to that. And if inflation stays at, you know, 3% or lower, right, their goal is to get it down to 2%, then we should certainly see. There's typically about a 2-point difference between inflation and interest rates, by the way. So if you have 2% inflation, you should have somewhere around 4% interest rates for mortgages. Well, we're about 7.5 and we have 3%. So there's a four and a half gap, right?
Yeah.
It's the widest it's been in a long, long time. And so we will certainly see, as we get through this job situation, it's weird to root for no jobs.
Yeah, right. It's bizarre, isn't it?
Right. And you know what? Yeah, we need some negative job numbers. That way we get some low interest rates.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people in the real estate world and in the mortgage lending world that are really, really, really struggling right now.
Sure.
I was listening to a call yesterday between an old coach of mine, Big Joel, you met him, Ford.
Yep, sure.
And Casey Crawford, who's the CEO of Movement Mortgage. And they were saying something like in the first quarter, 60,000 loan officers turned in their license.
Wow.
That seems unrealistic to me, but that's what they said. So, and I've heard it from a couple sources.
Wow.
That means there's getting a lot more people getting out of our business. Which,
yeah, well, and it's happening in real estate,
that's
too.
That's right, for sure.
It's happening in real estate. We're seeing fewer and fewer people do that. Is there any other future predictions that you have?
The last, I guess what I would say is from the things I think about or that I read, I think you're going to probably see rates back in the fives within a year. It certainly is expected in everything I'm following. Right. What I would leave you with, and I know we're out of time, is there's so many people that think that are renting right now that want to wait to do that. If they wait till rates come down, the problem is there's so many other people waiting,
right?
And that will cause cause absolute crazy competitiveness in the market. You better be prepared for $20,000, $40,000, $50,000 in due diligence minimum again.
And that may paying over
and pay more than ask and way right. more than ask. That's right.
As always, you're just a tremendous wealth of information. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, sure. My website is yournclender.com. That's yournclender.com. All my information is there. If you're ever looking for real estate agents, if you're looking for a good lender in the North Carolina area and you have questions, I'm happy to help in any way I can. Obviously, if you're looking to purchase a home, we'll be happy to chat with you about your options as well.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, Jay.
Thanks,
brother.
Appreciate it. It's great to see you again, as always. Folks, that's the show. You know what I say to you every week, and that is this. You know what? You had a lot of choices. You chose us. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week. Another great guest, another great show. Say to you all over the world. You know what that is. Ciao, everybody.
Living if you're dreaming small.